If your kids say that, oh, mom, dad, I love you, but I'm not a fan.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you for your presence here. And it is who you are. You keep your promises. You're holy. You love us. You never lie. Lord, we can trust you always. We thank you for the accuracy of your word and how you lay it out for us and give us certainty for the future. And Father, we just want to ask you please to pour your spirit out upon us today. We pray that you'll take your word and lead us to your rest, to your peace, to your joy. And Father, again, we just want to praise you and thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And I want to thank the church family for this week and how you've just been such an encouragement and comfort to our family with my mother-in-law, Kim's mother, Elaine, passing, Mama Jo. To be with the Lord, and we had just a glorious service for her Friday, and remembering her and celebrating her graduation into heaven. And we just want to thank you again for the food some of you brought, and all of the cards and well wishes and your prayers. We really, really appreciate that, and praise the Lord for it. We sold out of the set of CDs or DVDs for the message. Patriotic message, and so we printed some more. We'll have some more in the lobby if you'd like to have one. They're $3 each. If you want to pick those up and share them with friends, and be a blessing to you as well. And just want to tell you, I love you. Praise God for you. Thank you, Andrew. Praise God. Thank you, Darren. Praise the Lord. Lisa, our children for Children's Church. I'd like to speak to you today about the ABCs of entering into God's rest. God's rest. According to Chuck Swindoll, two of the top prescribed medications in America are Valium and Tagamet. The former is a muscle relaxant to help people deal with stress, and the latter stops the flow of hydrochloric acid to ease the churning stomach plagued with ulcers. If pharmaceuticals are any barometer to where our culture is emotionally, we're the most uptight, stressed out, anxiety-ridden culture on the face of the earth. And when he wrote this, it was before all of the things going on with our president. It was before COVID. It was before riots and all these other things. And so I'm sure we're looking for a lot more medical and chemical help as well. The idea of getting rest and resting. Yesterday, I was going fishing with one of our men, and I had to get up in the morning, take Shay to the airport. She had flown in to West Palm for the funeral. And I was wore out from the last few days. And so when I got home, I didn't have much time, but I laid down for 30 minutes. And I usually when I lay down, I go out. And it's surprising sometimes how just 30 minutes can refresh you and help you. My spiritual father, Adrian Rogers, used to say, I've got so much to do today, I've got to take a nap. And, you know, he also would say that it's never a waste of time to sharpen your axe before you cut wood. And so this idea of rest and gaining rest, if you've got your Bibles, let's look in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixed a certain day today, saying that through David, so long a time, just as he had said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. It's interesting that one of the passages we don't think about, but that does have the first half of it has rest in it, is the 23rd Psalm. And so I'm going to have us say the first few verses of it together, repeated. I know most of us know it by memory. So here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Okay. And so we see in the passage that he talks about some things that relate to rest, that we're to lay down in green pastures. And I think about when I was growing up as a young boy, and I'd lay out in the front yard. We had a ditch, and I'd put a piece of grass in my mouth and look at the clouds, not a care in the world, and just watch the world go by. And just, you know, one of those lazy spring days or early summer days, and the rest that would come from that. And he says, I'll lead you beside still waters. Those quiet waters. In fact, there's many people that pay to actually buy these soundtracks of waters, waterfalls, and rain, and some of these water events to help them in their sleep and to help them to get some rest. And so we see in the 23rd Psalm an emphasis by God on a calmness of our spirit and a rest. Now, in our passage, there's several things we see. The first, the A, is the availability of rest, that it is available for us. God has provided it, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. And this word rest is katapausa, and it means to cease or to stop something. It's to pause and to cease in our activity. We have been the most distracted generation ever since the internet and everything that's going on. We're inundated with texts, with emails, with all of this electronic communication. And then you have people that are just practically living on social media. They're tweeting constantly, they're on Facebook. All these things. I was looking at my daughter Shay's Facebook, and she's got 3,500 friends. Now, bless her heart, if she was to go and be with the Lord tomorrow, How many of those do you think would come to her funeral? You know, we've got all these friends, you know, and it's interesting the things that surround us and distract us and take up our time, and they really cut into the idea of our rest. And how many people actually observe a day of rest every week? A Sabbath. And God says here that I've made rest available for you. It is possible to have it. It is provided. It is there for you if you choose to seek it, and He will give it to us. Secondly, we see that the B is the basis of rest. Look, beginning in verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Recently, with some of the operations I've had and Kim's had, we were prescribed oxycodone, and it's supposed to kind of knock you out. It's supposed to take your pain away. I have found for me personally, it hypes me up like crazy. And when I had my hip replaced, I took some, you know, for the pain and that sort of thing. And then I took some to try to rest, and I was wired up. It just did the opposite thing for me. And a lot of times we think some of these prescriptions will help us. How many of you listen carefully to the commercials on television? They say, this prescription, you know, will stop your acid reflux, but it does cause heart attacks, constipation. Some people go lame and others go blind, you know. And you think, I think I'd rather have stomach acid. You know, it's that type of thing, all of these complications that follow with it. And we look for the idea of trying to find rest. They said when John F. Kennedy was the president that he could sit down somewhere, and in a few minutes he could take a nap. He'd just go to sleep and catch up on his rest because he was constantly moving. And so we see this idea of the basis of rest, that there's a base for it. God's rest is based upon God's word in verse 2, that He says it's been preached to us. It's the word that we heard. It's a word that's given. And God has said that He will provide us with rest, that He will give that to us. And it's based upon His promises. Secondly, God's rest is based upon belief. Look in verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We see here the idea that the rest is based on belief. Now, for each and every one of us, we have to get to the place in Christ where we believe that God is going to take care of us, that God is going to provide for us, that God is going to protect us, that He is our protector. Now, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to take precautions. You should lock your doors at night before you go to bed. You should lower the garage door. You should do some things like that. The other night, we heard what sounded like gunshots. It was intermittent. It wasn't like strings of firecrackers and that sort of thing. And we live near one of the police stations. And so I got on the phone, I called 911, and I said, you know, we're hearing this, and I'm a hunter, and I shoot recreationally, and this sounds like more than firecrackers. Well, or is there an imminent threat? And I said, no, we're not being threatened. There's no issue for us personally, but I'd like to know what's going on in the area. Would you have the police call me and let me know, is this fireworks, or are they having a shootout with somebody? You know, what's going on? And so I handed out guns to Shay and Kim, and we were ready to go in case, you know, everybody was armed like the Wild Wild West. So God help the person that breaks into our house. They better be saved. That's all I've got to say. They better be saved. Like the couple that came out when the Black Lives Matter group broke into their neighborhood, and they're standing in the lawn Of course, you could tell they weren't very experienced with guns because they were pointing them at each other. The woman's waving it around like it's her hand. The husband's AR-15 pointed at his wife, you know, but nobody came in their yard. Nobody. Nobody came near their yard. And so we think about those things, but we need to ultimately realize that God is our wall. He's our sanctuary. He's our shield. He's our protector. And he is our ultimate protector. And that doesn't mean we're not to also take care of ourselves. But we see that in this, we need to believe that. If you don't believe it, if you don't trust him, then the rest of this first couple of verses, he says, there's those that don't enter my rest. He said, they're not going to get in. If you're not responding to God's word, and if you're not believing what God says and trusting him in it, then you won't receive the rest. And this is a time in the world, beloved, where we all need to be closely adhering ourselves to Christ. Can I hear an amen? This is a time when we all need to be as close to him as we possibly can. And that involves not only the word of God and not only our belief, but it also involves our walk, where we're walking in holiness and obedience to Christ. I had the opportunity this week to counsel with someone, and we were talking about different things, and the person was a believer, but was talking about willful sin in their life. There's this area of my life, and it's sin, and I know it, but, you know, is that going to affect my testimony? Well, what do you think? I mean, if you're God in heaven and you say, I've given you my word, I've shown you what I'm looking for, I'm not a legalistic judge over you, I'm a gracious, loving God, and I've provided all of these commandments and requirements and statutes and precepts and all of these things to protect you, but you need to do them. You need to obey. And if we turn to him and say, well, Lord, I know that this and this and this in my life is disobeying you, but, you know, I love you anyway. You know, one of our grandmothers used to say, darn that kind of love. You know, if your kids say that, oh, Mom, Dad, I love you, but I'm not obeying you. No way, I'm not doing it. There's going to be a big question. And God wants us to not only know his word, not only believe it, but he wants us to obey it. He wants us to respond to it. And we see in the ABCs that God's rest is illustrated even by God himself. Look in verse 4. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. If you've got your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Now, here we see the conclusion of the 7 days of creation, the creation week. And beloved, it was not 7,000 years, 70,000 years, 700,000 years, 7 million years, 7 billion years. It was 7 days. 7 24-hour periods. And if you look at it, everybody that tries to rationalize this, they fall into deep trouble, because you've got him making the plants on one day and then the solar light the next day. If it's even 1,000 years, you've got a big miracle. You've got all the plants living without sunlight for 1,000 years. He made it impossible for us to rationalize it and get around it. God doesn't need ages and eons. God can do things in seconds and minutes. A day is a long time for him. Well, what's interesting, if you look at the first 6 days, each one of them concludes in this way, and here's an example in the last verse of chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening and morning the sixth day. Every one of the first 6 days ends that way. And there was evening and morning of the first day, evening and morning of the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. 24-hour periods. But then it comes to the seventh day, the Sabbath. And then in chapter 2, we see, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now, this is God Almighty. It does not say, and the morning and the evening of the seventh day, because this is a continual thing that God intended from then on. And what he said is, I'm going to be an example to you. I'm completing all of the creation of all this universe, everything physically that exists in all of creation in the ever-expanding universe. And he said, I did it in 6 days, and now I'm taking a nap. I actually think that that's when he made flounders, because he looks like he kind of dozed off on flounders. Both their eyes are on one side and they're flat, and it looks like, what in the world is this, an alien fish? I thought maybe he thought, oh, I forgot the flounder, and he threw that in. No, he didn't. And my mother-in-law would get me if I were to say that. But we see that God on the seventh day rested as an example for all of us. Are you setting aside, and you can say, well, with COVID, every day's a rest day. You know, we're supposed to stay in our house. You know, I'm going to work in my pajamas now. You know, back in the back room in the office or whatever. We're still to have a day where we set aside and say, this is my day of rest. Now, we typically think of Sunday, and Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. In Jewish tradition, Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week for the Jews. Today is the Monday for the Jewish culture historically. And the reason we're worshiping today is because this is to celebrate his resurrection. He resurrected on the Monday of their time, our Sunday. And so we celebrate on the Lord's Day and we worship on the Lord's Day, but we're to have a day of rest. A day where we say, I'm just going to set it apart. Now, for the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem and Israel, that means no work at all. In fact, their elevators are programmed to stop on every floor on Saturday because they believe to push the button is work. Yes, oh my goodness. So, I mean, to that degree, they're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. They're supposed to rest and observe. And God was the example for us. God said, I'm going to show you. Do you think God needed to rest on the seventh day? Do you think he had that need? No, he didn't have that need. He's all powerful. There's never a diminishing of his energy, his intellect, his abilities, his strength, his might. There's never a quailing of his abilities, ever, ever, ever. He didn't need that day. He said, I want to be an example to you. And this is what I want you to do. You need this, and he built us for this. We need to have a Sabbath. We need to have a coming apart so we don't fall apart, where we come to rest. So the basis of rest in verses 2 through 7, if we go on down, we see God's rest is based upon his word. It's based upon belief. God's rest is illustrated by God himself, and God's rest is inhibited by disobedience. Look in verse 5 through 7. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying that through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So the Sabbath rest can be inhibited by disobedience. You know, I've got to say that we as believers, as evangelical Christians, generally think of Sunday as our day of rest. And I've got to say, you know, Sunday for pastors and staff members and deacons and ushers and life group leaders and Sunday school teachers and ministry people and everyone else, it's oftentimes a very big work day. And we see that occurs. But we're to obey God and recognize him in this and acknowledge it and respond to it. And then we see number three, ABC, the character of rest, verses 8 through 10. God's rest is prescribed as the Sabbath in verses 8 and 9. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And again, this is an emphasis that God has laid down for us, that he has set aside to us. And then finally, God's rest is a cessation from labor, verse 10. For the one who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And I love this passage. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, where the Lord Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls." It's interesting, that verse, if you tear it apart and look at it and think about it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, the idea of carrying burdens. And our whole nation is stressed out. We're stressed out over everything surrounding us. And we're stressed out because we don't even know if we're hearing the truth or not about anything. Are we hearing the truth about the virus? There's all these conflicting stories. And if you go into social media, you're going to hear 1,000 different variations. And every kind of thing under the sun. Some with a little truth, some with no truth, some probably right on the nose. But how do you know? How do you discern? How can you tell? Our election, they say only about 20% of Americans believe that our elections are true now. One of the last elections when Alan West was running for re-election, who was an American hero, a great black man, congressman for our country, he came over and said, "Pastor, can I spend the election night with you?" And we had devotions together. He read a passage, I read a passage, he gave a devotion, I gave a devotion. And in my office that night on election night, he said, "Tonight I'm going to lose this election, and I've known it for a few weeks." And I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "When this election goes into a certain part of Port St. Lucie, there is a nefarious election supervisor there, and she will take this election from me." And sure enough, he went in leading 3,000. He came out losing 2,000 and lost. And so we wonder, illegal aliens, is there any fool in America that doesn't believe illegal aliens are voting in our elections? New York State now, when they sign up for a driver's license, they're automatically, everyone is enrolled for election. And then it says underneath there, if you're not a citizen, check no. And then underneath that, in parentheses, it says, you will not be penalized if you don't check it. That says, go for it. Vote. illegally vote. And the whole idea that it's suppression to show your picture, and this is a unique Democrat talking point, that showing pictures is voter suppression. I want to know how many people got into the Democratic National Convention without showing a picture ID annually when they have it. But these things, all these things surrounding us, cause anxiety and doubt and mistrust in our lives. They add stress to our lives. Used to be both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, even though they differed over things, they basically loved the country and were patriotic. That's not true anymore. There's people that would gladly see our civilization fall apart, and they're trying to design it. And so we've got all this anxiety, we've got all this stress building up on us. And the Lord says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Where I've come to peace with all these things, and I've shared this with you already a few times in the past couple of two or three months, is the fact that saved people are required by God to tell the truth. We should vote only once, show a voter ID. We should be truthful. But the wicked, the immoral, they say, we don't have virtue and we're not going to exercise it. And they don't. So why should I get vexed when the unrighteous act unrighteously? I mean, I should do everything I can. They're still recruiting poll workers. Y'all should all sign up on election day. I think you get $150. And make sure that everybody that votes shows a picture ID, and the person voting is the person that's standing in front of you. That's a great thing to do. And call them out if they're trying to cheat. But, you know, we need to recognize that communists are going to lie, socialists are going to lie, liberals are going to lie, you know, and just accept that. And recognize we're to be righteousness, we're to be truth, we're to be light, and we're to represent. We're to be salt and light. And ultimately to realize that God is going to allow a one-world government to occur, and all nation states are going to fail across the world equally eventually, probably soon. And with these things, and you say, Pastor, you said you were going to talk to us about rest. This is not very restful. But we all know it already. We're already musing about it and thinking about it and contemplating it and focusing on it. And so many of you now say, I don't watch the news anymore. I can't stand it. It's driving me crazy. But we see that God says that his rest is prescribed on the Sabbath, and it's a cessation from labor. And in this contrast, we see that he says, come unto me, all ye that labor. So here we are working and we're tired, we're exhausted. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're laboring, I'll give you rest. And then he says a strange thing. It is a strange thing. Take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? Now, my dad, we had some mules. And we had some cows we used, actually some steers that we used, and Dad believed in, we had a tractor, a Ford tractor, but he also believed, he bought one of the old plows with the handles, and it was yee and jee-haw or whatever. He knew what to say, I didn't know. And we actually plowed some of his farm with the animals. We put them in a harness and the yoke on them, where they were tied together. All over the world, there's people that are taking crooked logs and limbs, and they're hanging them over a couple of animals, and they're strapping them with leather or a rope to them. this yoke. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And you're saying, Lord, I thought you said, you know, this is going to be rest, and you want me to put on, you know, a harness with a heavy yoke? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe says, put on my harness. Put on my plowing implement. Why does he say that? Because he defines it, because I'm meek and lowly of heart. The Creator of the universe giving us an illustration of putting part of a plow implement on. And so he says that even though there's rest, there's also this element to it. There's also an element of work to it, of obedience to it on our part. And so God's plan for us is to have rest. We received this card as one of the many cards y'all sent us relating to this week and some of the things we've gone through with Elaine passing. And I love this. There is a tender touch of the Lord given to us in our times of loss. It's a touch that wipes away tears and comforts our sorrow. It's a healing touch by His Spirit that gently draws us under the shelter of His wings. What a beautiful, beautiful word picture. He's wiping away our tears. He's touching us tenderly. He's drawing us under His wings. We all need to allow Him to do that, and you can only do it when you turn off the television, you shut off your iPhone or whatever, you get off of social media, you get off of all these things, and you just get alone with Him and focus on Him. You open your Bible, you read the Word, you read it until you're really concentrating on it. A lot of times we'll read it. I try to read through the Bible every year, and there's sometimes I just say, it's my time to read, I'm going to read, especially the genealogies. Now I'm just reading the key name on each group because I've done it dozens of times. And I said, Lord, I don't care about all these people. I'm thankful that you appreciate people and you recognize them, but I'm just taking the head guy off of each tribe, and I'm skipping a lot of those genealogies. And there's times I read it, and if you ask me 5 minutes after what you read, I'd say, I don't have a clue. Is there anybody else like that? Be honest, raise your hands. All over the place. But that doesn't mean we're not to read it. Because there's other times when God just speaks out loud with it. It's like the little girl once who was helping her mother in the kitchen, could barely see over the edge of the sink, and she handed her what she thought was a pot. She said, throw the potatoes in there, and she threw the potatoes in there. She reached over, turned the faucet on, was watching the water pour in. Pot never filled up. Didn't realize in the bottom is filled with holes. It was actually a strainer. And so the little girl, mommy, 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 the pot of the potatoes isn't filling up. That's okay, honey. It's cleaning the potatoes. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. There's times we don't retain it. There's times we don't remember it. But it's cleaning your potatoes. Can I hear an amen? And so we get alone with God and we block out all of these outside noises. And we say, oh, Lord God, speak to me. Oh, Lord God, meet with me. Let me sense your presence and your power. Some of the greatest Christians who ever lived, George Mueller, a man of faith, and many others would say, my first priority every morning is to get alone with God until I sense His presence. There were some of them that would read for half hour, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, until they could sense God's presence for the day, and then they would go and do their day. How many of us do that? How many even read the Word of God? I think the average Christian in America might read a chapter a month or less, virtually hardly none at all. Maybe for church, when they're at church or in a life group or something, someone says, read that. But we need to be getting alone with God. We need to be allowing Him to bring us the rest that only He can bring in relationship to Him. And that starts by knowing Him, having a personal relationship with Him. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me, close your eyes. And I'd like to ask you again. Now, I know all of you, I think all of you here would say, Pastor, you know I've already given my life to Christ. Are you really living in a relationship with Him? Is He really living and alive to you personally? Or do you just have some beliefs? Do you have a living relationship with Him? Have you taken His yoke upon you? Have you learned of Him? Do you know His meekness and His lowliness of heart? I'd like to invite you right now, if you're not sure of it, maybe you're listening by radio, maybe you're with us on Facebook or listening by shortwave FM here locally. And just say, Dear Lord Jesus, oh God, please be real to me. Come into my life, touch me, forgive me and cleanse me and live through me. And be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for responding to me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'd like to ask you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you'd pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I want to enter into your rest. I want to experience you personally. Please give me a fresh filling of your Spirit. And Lord, lead me into your rest. Help me to commune with you on a daily basis and live through my life. In Jesus' name. Love you, and we're going to extend our invitation now, and now's an opportunity for you to respond to God this morning if you haven't already done so. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about being a part of our fellowship or believer's baptism. We'll disinfect the water with chlorine. We'd like to invite you to come and obey God and do what He wants you to do. Let's stand together and sing. Please be seated for a couple of announcements. I want to encourage you to be in prayer for one of our members. Her son, Mark, Laura Griggs' son, has had a heart attack, and then from it there's some nerve damage and leg damage where they're talking about an amputation and just a lot of complications. So if you can remember Laura Griggs' son, Mark, and pray for him, we would appreciate it. In fact, let's bow in prayer for that now. Father, we just want to tell you we love you. Ask you to be with Mark and pour your Spirit out and perfect your will in his life. If it's your will to see him through this and strengthen him and recover him, we pray you'll do it. And if it's your will to call him home, Lord, we just pray for that as well. We want your perfect will for Mark and just pour it out upon him. Use Laura and Lonnie and their prayers in a supernatural way for his benefit. And Lord, I thank you for our people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you again, there's a few more of these patriotic messages. If you'd like one, they'll be in the lobby. Bessie's going to take them to the lobby. Here you go, Bessie. And they're $3 each, and just see them in there. God bless you. Love you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Nick Bennett, pastor of senior adults here at First Baptist Church of Stuart. Continue to join us for these additional passages of Scripture and teaching from the Word of God by our pastor, Dr. Daryl Orman.
And you should never go to a church if you don't think the pastor is a man of God. It doesn't mean perfect. Never does. We're all sinners saved by grace. I had a visiting lady speak to me this holiday season in the lobby, and she said, well, Pastor, I'm just concerned about hypocrites in the church. And I said, well, sister, we're all hypocrites in one sense. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we've all done things wrong in our life. And I said, there's just times we're all going to fail. I'll fail you sometime. I'll disappoint you. I may say something you don't like, or, you know, I may look at you funny and you think I've, you know, got an attitude toward you or something or whatever. But, you know, Jesus is the one we're following. He's the perfect one. Can I hear an amen? And so, in relationship to that, but we are to follow godly people. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we follow. I mean, that's what Charles Stanley, and I love him. I know him personally. I've talked to him. I tried to interview him for my doctoral dissertation, and I talked to him, you know, at Adrian Rogers' funeral for a little bit, but Charles Stanley has been through a lot. His wife Anna divorced him. He's a divorced pastor. He never remarried. He's still only been the pastor of one wife, but he's gone through a lot of rejection in his life. And Anna, in a book of pastors' wives, said, Charles tried to help me, but he couldn't. I'm bipolar, basically, is what she said. And yet, you know, he's still a godly man, and he's often called America's pastor, Charles Stanley. And so we see this idea here, the images of Christ, the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. Number two, there's not a message for the church. This is a church that does not get a commendation. We've seen, as we've looked, our second point normally is the commendation of the church. This one is just a message against the church. You know, if you look down in our passage, he says that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. So there's reputation and reality. There's churches that have reputation. They're alive and they're really dead. They're not taking a stand for Christ. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God. They're not advocating biblical morality. And they have a reputation for being alive, but they're not. And so we see here, this is an adverse circumstance. It's a reputation that doesn't line up with the reality. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, he says that in the last days, they'll be holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Avoid them. I've shared with y'all recently, I was attending a pastor's assembly within this year, and the leading pastor got up, and he was talking about the tone in the church, and he says, fellas, we should not be standing in front of our church and saying things like, God didn't create Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. We should not be adverse about the homosexual situation because there are members struggling with their sexuality. There are members that they have sons and daughters struggling with their sexuality. And so we should not go into that. You know, we shouldn't address that. And he said even President Obama evolved in his view because he was pro-traditional family, and then he advocated homosexual marriage. Well, at the end, I couldn't stand it anymore. There were about 100 pastors there, so I raised my hand. This is the way I win friends and influence people. In fact, it's the way I don't get invited back to a lot of things I've been to. I can't help it. God says, I want somebody to say it, and a lot of times he chooses me. And so I raised my hand. They said, yes, Daryl. And so I stood and I said, well, a couple of things. Number one, we have homosexual marriage because we've not been the prophets of God. The churches should have railed out all over the nation like they did 100 years ago with morality. And we are to be prophets of God. We're not to be popular. That God hasn't called us to be popular. He's called us to be truthful. And then secondly, President Obama did not evolve in his views of homosexuality. He said after his second election, if I had shared with the nation my true feelings about that, I would have not been elected the first time. That indicates it was in his heart all along. It was his disposition. There was no evolution there. And so we don't have the right to say that. Well, afterwards, I had two sweet young pastors come up to me and say, Pastor Orman, I agree with everything. It's 2 out of 100. And then we had discussions, table discussions. But we see in Scripture here, he says, you have a name for being alive, but in actuality, in reality, you're dead. And we have to say, how do we measure dead? You know, I love that Adrian Rogers, my spiritual father, he used to preach everything. Jerry Falwell, the same thing. Both of them discipled me. And Adrian Rogers used to say, we're not only to give them the, We're not to be following the sweet honey God. We're not to just be giving dessert. We need to also give the vegetables. We need to give the meat. We need to give the vegetables. And so here we see that he talks about that, and 2 Timothy talks about that as a condition of the last days, that there'll be a form of godliness and denying the very power of it. Then we see in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. We can say, I've got great faith. Now, I appreciate that Joel Osteen tries to win people to Christ. I really do. I'm grateful for that, and I support him 1,000% in that. But when he was interviewed back when the marriage amendment was going on, he was interviewed on Larry King and some of these talk shows, and he said, well, I'm not theologically qualified to comment on the homosexual issue. Really? Then what are you doing pastoring the largest church in the nation? Do you not know your Bible, the basic reading of it? You know, and he's very popular, selling millions of books and having these rallies all over the nation, and largest church in America. I think last I heard is 25,000 or more worshiping there every Sunday. Well, that's how you can get a giant crowd, is if you don't say anything offensive. But are you carrying them to heaven? Are you equipping them morally to stand before a holy God? You know, it's not whether we can hold a crowd here, it's whether the crowd gets up there. And I've said this before, and it's true, church is not a place where you come as you are and stay as you are, but you are to come as you are initially. But we're to be convicted and changed. We're to repent. And we're going to look at repentance here in just a minute. But we see that he says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are actually dead. And then we see that your deeds are incomplete in God's sight. This is another judgment against them. They haven't completed their works. In 2 Corinthians...
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004, and I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast, and God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you, and we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. And it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.